Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. This is Stephanie and it is another Tuesday.
Hello everybody, welcome. And this is Heidi here on the ParaX Network, and we're excited to be here after a very exciting weekend.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy weekend. It was the big Minnesota Paracon up the Shooting Star Casino up there on the prairie, and it was fun and crazy, and good times were had by all.
It was. I thought it was fun. And yeah. I have fun there anyway, no matter what's going on. But the energy, I thought, felt really good this year. I don't know if you remember last year, and I don't know if I even... I just remember last year, the entrance going in and out where you had to have your lanyard, you know, to get in and out. Yeah. There was this big energy bubble of goo that you had to walk through to get to and from, like, in and out. And I'm like, every time, I'm like, why is this energy bubble so big? And it didn't matter what you tried to do to clear it. It just was hanging there. I'm like, who is adding to this that it keeps it? So it's just every time you try and come in and out, you get gooed.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yes. It did seem better this year. There weren't as many people this year though, which was kind of a bummer, but we were busy. I mean, our booth was busy almost in. I mean, honestly, there were like maybe 30 minutes in the whole 2 days that I actually sat down on the chair.
Oh yeah.
Just
maybe.
Yeah.
I was busy the whole time. I mean, people were coming up and asking questions, which was awesome. That's why I'm there, is to, you know, I'm not doing any services at my booth because I don't want to do services. I want to be able to talk to people. And I was answering a ton of questions. People come up asking for advice about this and that, whatever. It continued into the evening when after dinner you go out to have a drink or something, and people come up behind you at your bar stool and they're like, hey, I have another question for you. Can you answer? It's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I know. It was a crazy time this year. It was just, like I said, we were just mobbed all the time. We had people at our booth the entire time and, you know, wanted so much to know about what we Squatchers did. And then I was over at the Sim booth sometimes, too. So it was just a little nuts. But, you know, it worked because, you know what, we were all in the same... Squatchers was buffeted by both of you guys.
Yep.
You know, Sim and the Gathering, my spirit experience.
Yes.
So it was.
I thought that worked out well.
It did work out really well, didn't it? I thought so.
Yep.
And the funniest part was when we were trying to put up our display boards for Squatchers that first night we were there setting up the booth, and we couldn't figure out how to put it. Because last time when we put it up at CryptidCon, Cindy did it for us, and she was just able to figure it out. And so it was you and I and Tim and Cindy and Katie, and we all sat there looking at it, and we couldn't figure... I don't know how long it took us to figure it out, but we finally did.
I mean, all of a sudden, it was just like something fell into place. I'm like, oh my God, I got this side. Hurry up. Let me get over to the other side before I forget how I did it. That was nuts.
Yeah, but it all worked out in the end. So, you know, it was fun, and we were, you know, out every night and then got up early in the morning, and yeah, I was pretty tired when I got home, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, it is good, and it's fun. It's, I know it was a little slower this year, but I didn't think so, but I know it was. It was still fun to see all the peeps.
Yes. The paranormal family. That's what we call it. The paranormal family reunion. And, you know, the evenings are the time that everybody gets to catch up and visit and, you know, throw back a few drinks and dance. They had the band there that everybody loves this year. The last 2 years they've had a DJ or whatever, which was just a bummer because everybody loves this band. And so they were there all three nights and they're just awesome. And we had a really good time. So yeah, great, great job, Paracon, Shooting Star. We sure had fun. And I think the word got out there and people were very interested in what we were doing on all sides, you know, and met a lot of cool people. And of course, clowned around with Grant Wilson, who we always do.
He's funny. He's really funny.
Oh, isn't he though? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good humor. So, but yeah, I mean, it was cool being next to the Squatchers booth, and I really didn't get to interact on that end. It was nice if there was a photo, I could just zip right over there, because last year I had to truck it halfway across the room.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see just how many people were there wanting to talk about Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Or learn about Bigfoot, or hear your stories. Or it was fun to watch that and see that. So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, no, it was great. So we're back, and now this is the crazy month of October, so there's still a lot of October to go through. So, Heidi, you have a big event coming up this Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep. I have my Spirit Experience Weekend, which I do. I've been doing twice a year up at the Palmer House in Sauk Center, and it always is really fun, and it's been a sellout the last few times, which I'm really grateful for. And this one is going to be extra witchy.
Ooh, extra witchy. I love it.
Extra witchy. You know, I have three nights of witchiness happening, and even in the daytime, we do a little witchy. So it's going to be good. And it's full, as full can get. And I'm excited about that. So, yeah, that's this weekend. Why not do 2 4-day weekends back to back?
Of course. Of course. Of course. I know. You did this last year, too, and you were just crazy and exhausted and couldn't handle things. And
it was worth it. Absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
And I have to say I've budgeted my time a little better this year. So... because I think I bit off more than I can chew last year. This year I'm much more planful, and it's good. Yeah.
Good.
So it's good. And then of course anyone that's in the area, my Halloween open house is the following Friday.
Yes, the 27th. So you should come because that's really a fun. It's fun 26th. To see all the stuff. What was it?
Friday the 26th.
Oh, gosh. Look at, I still have September up on my calendar.
Don't look at that calendar.
Don't look at that area.
Yeah, head over on Friday the 26th to the My Spirit Experience Studio. I have a free event that I offer as like a, you know, community fun activity, not necessarily for kids under, I would say, 14. But it's creepy. It's like the one night of the year that we can turn the studio from beautiful and zen into creepy and disturbing.
Yeah, creepy, crazy. Creepy. Yeah, and it is creepy, creepy and disturbing or whatever you just said.
And so it's fun. And I mean, if you like creepy and disturbing, it's fun. And we have a good time and it's free. And it's just pop in, look around, leave, or stay and hang out. Some people hang out almost the whole night.
There were a lot of people there that were there when I got there and they were still there when I left and looked like they had no, you know, inclination to leave. So
they see people they know and they start chatting and they sit down and they have an apple cider and they just think, okay, I'm going to hang out. This is great. And I mean, there's a lot to see too.
Yes, there is. There is. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's very fun. So if you get a chance, you know, go for it. Well, and the Sim Crew is going back to Maiden Rock this weekend. So not going to say which night because we don't want a bunch of people hanging out, but there's a bunch of us going and some of us we're going at night. So some of us will be on the top and some of us will be on the bottom. So we will wipe on the easier way now. So I think we'll be fine. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
Cool. That'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Investigation. Investigation.
Yeah, exactly. The veil is thin. So if anybody can see that maiden, I'm hoping we get to see her this weekend. So,
Well, and the full moon's coming. I don't think it'll be there for this weekend, but isn't it? It's coming, isn't it?
It's coming. So it's gathering energy, you know, as we go. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So tonight, so while we were at Paracon, we were super busy the whole time we were there. So we didn't get as much time as we wanted to interview people, but we did get a few interviews out there. And so tonight we thought we would play those fresh off the
hot off the press,
hot off the press Paracon interviews. And so the first one we're going to play is, of course, one of our favorites up there is Lauren Coleman. And so we asked the same questions of all of them.
Let's first talk about the questions that we asked each one of them. and then we'll introduce like who Lauren Coleman is, if you don't know who he is. Okay.
Go ahead. All right. So you should tell, are we going to talk about what the questions was that we were asked? Because, you know, here's me, and I couldn't remember what they were.
I know. Every person we go to, we're like, okay, let's do, you know, and as soon as the microphone gets turned on, Stephanie hands it to me, and she goes, you ask.
I can't remember the questions.
I was able to remember them. So we asked this of everybody that we interviewed. The first question, out of anybody on this planet, if you could investigate with someone that you haven't investigated with, who would it be?
Yep.
And the second question was, what is something that you don't mind sharing that nobody knows about you?
Yeah.
Like a hobby or an interest that nobody knows about you or not many people know about you. What would be a fun fact? And so those were our two questions. And, good answers.
And do you think I could remember those questions? Yeah. And it wasn't like I was shy because we chatted the whole time with them. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it was just like, put me on the spot and I just couldn't remember what the questions were. So I felt really dumb, but whatever. It's all right. You know, we figure it out.
But I have to say, and I know we didn't edit the beginnings or the ends of these because we wanted to get these uploaded right away because they're fresh. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little chitter chatter in the beginning and end of each one, but they're still pretty short interviews. So bear with us as we get rolling with these. But okay, so our first interview is
Lauren Coleman.
And he is
the world-renowned cryptozoologist, and he is the Bigfoot guy, and he is actually the one who gave us the inspiration to form Squatchers 3 years ago. And I know he tweeted out, you know, that he loves coming to Paracom because this is where the only female groups are, and it was his inspiration that created them. So
he feels pretty good about that.
He feels great about it, man. You know,
he should.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very cool. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, we like Lauren. So are we ready, Sarge? Can we roll that footage? Well, it's Heidi and Steph, and we're here with Lauren Coleman, who's world famous. We love Lauren Coleman. He gave us the idea for Squatchers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
we're here at the 8th Annual Paracon in Menomon, Minnesota.
Yeah, I've been here seven times.
And you've been here seven times. As much as we've been here.
Yeah.
I think you were here actually before we, because we didn't start coming for a couple years, I think. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So do you love Minnesota, Lauren?
Oh, yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah, don't you know?
Yeah, I've been in a boat here for a while.
Yeah. Oh, that was really good. That's really good.
That's nice.
So what was question number one?
Okay, so
dumb.
She's not remembering the questions. That's okay.
Yeah.
So doing this work in the paranormal field or cryptozoology field or whatever field you want to investigate, who is the one person that you have not investigated with that you would like to investigate with if you had the chance?
That would probably be Ivan T. Sanderson. He's wrote some of the most important books in terms of Fortean phenomena. I never use the word paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Fortean phenomena is unexplained phenomena,
mm-hmm.
and that can really encompass a whole field. But he also was an early cryptozoologist.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go investigate with him. Unfortunately, he died in 1972.
I was wondering if that's what was coming.
Yeah. But I have to be truthful.
Yes.
Because, believe it or not, anybody I want to investigate with that's alive, all I have to do is ask them.
Yeah,
and you got it.
Say yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that's,
I either go to them or they come to me. And so
that's cool.
My dreams come true around people.
That's awesome.
Because I don't know. I mean, you know, my wife says take out the garbage. I take out the garbage. I'm just a common, ordinary person. But I can say my name to some people and it opens doors for
them. Yes.
And I'm not intimidated by other people's celebrity like some people might be, or just because they've been on some show. We're all just in this. We're normal people trying to do the best job we can.
Yep.
And hopefully being nice to each other,
which
I think is very important.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Raising the vibration.
That's right.
One interaction at a time.
One.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. And so our second question,
mm-hmm.
is there any special talent or hobby or something that maybe people don't know about that you'd be wanting to share with us? That you have?
Well, unfortunately, I've been pretty exposed because I don't try to hide anything, but a lot of people don't know that I'm a collector of small metal buildings.
Oh.
One of the things I do when I travel, and I, because I travel so much, mm-hmm. I started getting little metal buildings, you know, and the easy ones are like the Eiffel Tower if you went to Paris.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, and everybody has Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
But it's the harder ones. You go to some place and you're like Devil's Tower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of those. And so those are the ones that really... Or you go someplace like I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into a little antique store and I found a little Mount Rushmore.
Oh,
and that was a kind of cool souvenir.
That's
and
cool.
Even though I will always associate that with Cheyenne, some from someplace else.
Yes.
Or I was in, I've always loved St. Augustine, Florida.
Yes.
And we've had conferences there and mm-hmm. we visited there and I've done investigations there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a conference in, I went to the Mothman thing, went into an antique store there and found the gates of St. Augustine.
Oh,
so those kind of associations.
Yeah.
And then, so I actually have sub-collections within my collections of buildings. Some of them are ghost buildings, like I have probably 12 buildings from around the country that are haunted buildings. And I have a whole collection that are called buildings of disaster, like the Texas Book Depository, a little sculpture of all the cars chasing O.J. Simpson on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little souvenir.
I've got
the Waco building that burned up.
Oh, yeah.
The Osama bin Laden compound.
Mm.
So
interesting.
Nobody
that
knows,
is really interesting.
Everybody knows about the cryptozoology,
yeah.
And they sometimes even know about the Twilight language and the copycat effect books that I have, but not too many people know that I have this whole I've got 600-700 buildings.
Oh my god.
It's another museum.
That's awesome.
And I love miniatures, I'm gonna tell you.
She's the queen.
You know, the big ones are sometimes easy to get, but I collect the little pewter metal buildings.
That's very cool. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
that's
actually
that's
this
a good
is the
tidbit.
First time I've ever been interviewed about that.
Oh, see,
mm-hmm.
We wanted to do a different spin on things.
Oh, yeah,
doing a little different. So good.
Yeah,
that was fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome.
All right, so there it is. Our interview with Lauren Coleman, and we got him with a question he had never been asked before.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it.
And it was outside of the paranormal, or as he says,
Freudian phenomenon.
Freudian phenomenon, that's
mm-hmm.
right. So it's nice to get people into somewhere else that, you know, not that he doesn't want to talk paranormal there, but it's like he probably gets asked a bunch of paranormal questions. Let's do something different. So anyway, that was cool.
Yeah, he was fun. He was fun, you know, because he, you know, we talked to him for a while before we turned on the microphone, and then we talked to him after we shut it off. So, and then he came over to the Squatchers booth because he wanted our pictures so he could tweet it out. But we got one too. So, yeah, no, it was a very fun interview, and Lauren's always good, you know.
Yeah.
I think he expected more, actually, but it's all good.
I think he did expect more.
You know, we just kind of, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
We don't actually care about anything paranormal that you have to say. Sorry. No,
yeah.
I mean, we just, we kind of didn't. But, you know, it's fun to talk about other things, too. But here's the thing about Lauren is when you talk to him, if you do ask him about something outside.
Oh, he knows right away.
Oh, my goodness. The guy knows dates. He knows locations. Mm-hmm. He knows what pants they were wearing. It's like, what? How are you? He just has this encyclopedia memory or something.
He does. He's great. So we're going to do one more before the break, and it should take us right up to the break. But while we were there, Grant Wilson brought over Aaron Ryder to the Squatchers booth one day. And he told Aaron, well, these girls are the bomb. You have to meet them. This is Stephanie. This is Katie, because we were the ones working the booth on, I think it was Friday. And she was like, just all Google-eyed, really. You know, she said, you guys are actually go out in the field. And she was looking at our pictures and she asked some questions. And then she wanted her picture taken with us and she Instagrammed it right away. And then, you know, I would run into her during the course of the weekend and she was just hysterical. You know, every time she said, there's my girl. And, you know, you're going to do it. And blah, blah, blah. She was really fun. So this next interview is Aaron Ryder and Jael DePardo.
DePardo. Jael DePardo. And I screwed it up. Let me tell you, I'm going to fess up right now. When we started, you know, Stephanie forgets the questions and throws a microphone at me. And I'm like looking at her name going, I know I've heard this a million times, but why can I not pronounce it now? So I actually screwed this up in the interview. So I apologize. Mm-hmm. And I said I didn't know how to say it. But it's Jael DePardo.
Jael DePardo and Aaron Ryder.
Aaron Ryder.
Yeah, so let's roll it, Sarge.
You ask.
Okay.
All right. So we're here at Paracon, and we're talking with, I don't know how to say your name.
Jael DePardo.
DePardo, thank you. And Aaron Ryder. And we'd love for you to share with our listeners just a little bit about what brings you here, what you're doing.
Sure. Well, this is my fourth time being at Paracon. I was a co-host on the show Destination Truth, as well as Chasing UFOs. You can find me on The Unexplained on the History Channel, and I'm also working on a Travel Channel show right now. But I guess what brings me here is my work in the paranormal, cryptid, and UFO space.
Excellent.
Love it.
Hi, this is Jael. So this is my second Paracon. And it's been a really fun ride through my work, because I started in 2009 with Destination Truth. That's how Aaron Ryder and I worked together. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I did two subsequent shows on sci-fi. One called Fact or Faked Paranormal Files.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Where we found a bunch of videos online of unexplained phenomena, mm-hmm. and tried to recreate them to see if we could debunk them or if they were real.
That was good. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then after that, I moved on to a third show on sci-fi called Haunted Highway that I did with Jack Osborne. So, as you can imagine, I've been in the paranormal world for a while and been on a lot of investigations and cultivated a fan base. And so they invited me out to Paracon, and I said yes!
Perfect. Awesome. So, I guess, you know, you've both done work in the paranormal. Is there any one event that really stands out that you could speak into? Just like, wow, this really blew my mind, or this was a really amazing experience, anything like that?
It's hard to narrow down one particular experience. I think a lot of the investigations that I've done have shifted my perspective over the years. I would say a really powerful moment for me was when I was investigating the suicide woods in the suicide forest in Japan, the base of Mount Fuji. I think that was one place where I really felt something, and we captured this incredible dark mist apparition that really was something that you had to see to believe. And certainly there's been subsequent events, but that was one that definitely stuck with me. I actually had some night terrors after that.
Oh, wow.
It was really, really powerful, strange place.
What made the night terrors go away?
Or time.
Oh, just time.
Yeah, okay. It was one of those things where I think it's hard to explain being in a place where 30 people kill themselves there a month, and being, we would come across these empty tents, and you knew that someone, you know, was no longer there. You'd find smoldering fires that had just been put out, or you'd find these artifacts. People had ripped up photos, cut up their driver's license, you know, these memories. And there's something about that. It was just so dark that it stuck with me.
Wow. Thank you.
I'm a really big fan of history, so whenever I get a chance to go to a place that has, you know, some kind of massive historical event that happened or that kind of thing, it really intrigues me. So I would say a real standout is Chernobyl.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's obviously a very sad thing that happened, but it was so interesting to be able to walk through the streets of Pripyat, mm-hmm. which are basically frozen in time. It's like a skeleton of what it used to be.
Wow, what a great description.
And, you know, it's amazing. It's crazy. The story is like, you know, people basically just picked up and ran from, you know, being in the middle of whatever it was that they were doing. And you walk through the streets and you see that. You see, you know, a dinner table that's still set, you know, that kind of thing. You know, family photos and homes where they essentially rushed out and weren't able to take anything with them. So it's a profound and very interesting place to see.
It's so weird to say that I'm jealous that I wasn't there, because it's like, do I want to go to a you know, a place with that high radiation? But at the same time, it's just what a cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's intense. Yeah.
Jael was, we were only in two investigations together, right? The Sandstorm Spirits in Namibia and the Night Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
But I love working with you.
Oh, yes, yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Well, we're both on a show that's airing right now on History called The Unexplained.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we're both pretty key contributors. And it's, yes, it's about conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
Some other historical things, and so
very,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Very cool.
But we like to also empower women within this industry as well, so it's so awesome to see two you know, women behind the show that you guys do, as well as the organization that you guys have, so keep it up.
Thank you.
More
them.
Women. Yeah.
We're going to look them in the eyes.
I love
Absolutely. So we have two more questions, just quick questions. These are off topic now. Well, the first one, if you could investigate or work with anybody that you haven't worked with before, who would it be?
Grant. I want to work with Grant Wilson.
Oh,
I love him.
Fast. I love
him. I love him. He is so genuine and talented. This... being able to come to events like this, you meet, you know, others in the industry. I would be blessed to work with any of them. I mean, Steve, Dave, Jay, Amy, Adam, Chip, John Zaffis. Really. And we've had some crossovers where we'll look at evidence with the Ghost Hunter guys, but I haven't really worked with them. So
yes.
I think that Grant would definitely be high on my list.
Yeah. I feel
you
the same way.
Guys?
I think it's difficult to single somebody out, and actually after a while, you know, it becomes a crew of people that you've actually like come across somehow, because I did the Ghost Hunters live event, and then, you know, we have guests that come in. So I've been lucky enough to be able to meet a lot of the people in the industry.
A lot of crossovers.
Yeah, and so, so I feel pretty lucky that I've been able to meet a lot of great people.
That's really fun. So, last question, is there any talents that you have that maybe isn't known to people out there that you would be willing to share?
Oh my gosh, talent?
Hobby, something you like to do that maybe is just, when you're not doing any of this stuff, something you like to do, or...
I'm a huge music fan. I probably see live music once a week. Massive music fan. I'm
Ryder's
not musically talented. I'm always at a concert. It's a fact.
It's true.
I travel. A lot of the traveling that I do is to see music as well. But I don't know if I have any extra talent. What would you say?
Well, I've always been around the art world. I grew up in New York City, and I went to school for art. Design, large installation art. So I'm around that world a lot, and even though I don't do that now, I have a lot of friends that do make a lot of large scale installation art.
Awesome.
So I'm like around that a lot, and sometimes when I have spare time, I'll go in and spend time trying to help them.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Pretty fun stuff.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm a massive athlete too, so I guess I'm really athletic when I'm not hurting myself. Right now, I tore my hamstring.
Oh no!
So I'm pretty banged up. But I guess if you've watched my shows, you know that that's
that might be
part of the course.
Yeah, and I fall all the time too, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yes. Oh, thank you guys so much.
To talk to you today.
Oh, awesome. We appreciate it.
It's nice to
thank you. And, oh. Do you have a way that you'd like to share people to get a hold of you, websites, anything like that?
Yeah, people can check out my website, which is erinrider.com, or on my Instagram or Twitter at erinrider13.
Awesome.
Great. My website is jaeldepardo.com, and my Instagram is just at jaeldepardo.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show.
So brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para-X Radio Network.
Oh! Hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi! Heidi! Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey!
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh! Well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The calling.
The calling. The calling. The calling.
The calling.
The calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. And we just finished up our second clip from Paracon, which is our interview with Jael DePardo and Erin Ryder, both originally from Destination Truth. And now they've moved on to, I don't know, what between the two of them, six or seven different shows they've had. So hopefully you enjoyed the interview. It was really, really nice talking with them. They're just both super cool and really nice and down to earth.
Oh, yes.
You know? Freudian phenomenon. Yeah, field. I don't know. Freudian. Yeah. In the paranormal, I'll stick with paranormal because that makes sense to me. But there's not a lot of women. I mean, there's women, but there's a lot of groups that have both men and women, which is cool. I mean, that's great. But when Erin saw that there's just an all-female Sasquatch searching group, she thought, okay, this is cool.
Yes.
This is good stuff. So anyway.
My microphone was muted.
Whoops. Okay.
I know, whatever.
And I'm sitting next to you, so I can't tell because I can hear you. So it was fun to interview them. And, again, we talked a little bit before we recorded, mm-hmm. and then after we did too, and they were just so nice. Oh, I mean, not that I would expect anything other. I mean, but they just wanted to keep chatting, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, this mm-hmm. is so neat.
Yeah, you know? Wasn't it though? They were great. I wish we would have had more time, but we wanted to get to others as well, so we can only do.
We had to fit this into little gaps that we had when there was a speaker in the auditorium. It would kind of clear out the crowd, so then we would hustle around mm-hmm. and try and get interviews from the other celebrities that weren't doing their mm-hmm. presentation, you know, because mm-hmm. then they weren't busy because mm-hmm. they were, you know, someone else was what had the crowd, so
yeah,
we could quick sneak in and get a couple of interviews, but I mean, seriously,
It was nuts, though. It was nuts. And, you know, that first day was so busy we couldn't even do any. And then the second day, we were pretty much really busy until this was at like 3 in the afternoon. So really, there were only a few hours of Paracon left. And I think it was when Grant Wilson was up so that there was more people in there. So we had
more. Everybody was cleared out.
Yeah. So, but they were awesome. You know, everybody that we interviewed were awesome. And, you know, just the whole crowd is, they're just so fun to be with. So, and so normal yeah. people. You know, they weren't like above, like Lauren said, he doesn't treat them like they're big.
Their pants on the same
yes,
way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. So, all right, we have one more.
We do.
And this is Nick Redfern. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't know much about him.
No, me either.
I met him this weekend, mm-hmm. and he's an interesting guy. He's also a cryptozoologist.
Yes.
But he differs from Lauren Coleman.
Yes.
I'm losing my mind, too. Okay. Tis the season. So, because they're both cryptozoologists, Lauren is much more on the actual creature
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
They exist in a body here on this planet.
Yep.
And Nick is of the belief that it's more of a supernatural creature that is interdimensional.
Yes.
Which I lean towards myself. Not that I don't agree with Lauren on certain things, and I can see both sides of it, so I think it's cool. But it's neat to have a comparison, you know, someone that goes on a little bit different slant. But he doesn't really get into it too much in the interview. But it's still a neat interview, and he's a talker.
Yeah. Oh, he is a talker, so he will be on our show.
We're going to get him on the show.
I mean, he was raring to go almost this Tuesday, but he said, I can't do it on Tuesday, and we're like, well that's good.
Because we have other things to do. No.
But, so, he was really fun to talk to, and I was going to go back and buy his book about Lake, because the book that he had left was about Nessie over in Loch Ness. Yeah. So Lake Monster, which is right up my alley, I love that, but I never made it back. Did you?
I didn't either. Yeah. And I wanted to get one of his books. So we'll have to see if he has any on his website that he can sell.
Exactly.
But okay. So we'll chat about him a little bit more when mm-hmm. we get back from his interview, but we'll get that started. Cause I know it's a little bit lengthier, but it's interesting. He's mm-hmm. an interesting guy. So mm-hmm. we'll go ahead and do that, Sarge, if you will.
Talking with Nick Redfern, and you're based out of Dallas, Texas currently.
Yep.
You're originally from?
Just outside the city of Birmingham, England.
Excellent.
Which is sort of central England.
Central England, awesome. Yep. And you are a cryptozoologist.
Yeah, one of my big interests is strange creatures, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, mm-hmm. Abominable Snowman, anything that's kind of a bit weird and monstrous, I'll go looking for it.
So. Perfect.
Yeah. Monstrous, I like that.
I love monstrous. Have you actually seen anything?
I've not sort of had that definitive encounter, but I have found like Bigfoot tracks in the woods. You know, we will make casts of them. And a lot of weird howling and yelling in the woods, which didn't sound like regular animals, you know.
And where was this?
It was actually in some of the forests of East Texas, bordering on with Louisiana,
where you actually get
a lot of Bigfoot reports from there, because people think of Texas of like cactus and desert.
Yeah.
But East Texas, bordering on Louisiana, all the way down the state, is just thick, heavy forest, and we get a lot of reports from
fantastic.
That area. Yeah.
Do you have a group that you go with then? Or is it just a couple of you? Or?
No, sometimes, you know, I mean, usually there's a group of you, at least three or four, just for safety reasons. Not mm-hmm. not necessarily because you're worried about being attacked by mm-hmm. Bigfoot, but more like making sure there's no mountain lions around.
Right,
and,
that's
bears.
That's what we're always thinking about, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so, but yeah, we always generally go in groups and then, you know, stakeouts through the night and... Mm-hmm. Which is when animals come out, you know. But I'm not inclined to think that a lot of these things are just unknown animals. There's something much stranger about them.
Interesting.
You know,
So they're very good at hiding.
Well, either that or they just aren't in our reality a lot of the time. I think they kind of could be like multi-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, jumping out of our reality. And it's like with Bigfoot. I mean, you know, that Bigfoot creature has been seen all across the U.S., and they're sort of like 8 foot tall and 500 pounds. Well, in a country like the United States, we should have at least one example of an 8 foot tall creature wandering around the US.
Yes.
But yes. We don't, you know. And it's like, if we're talking about something like the size of a mouse, I could understand why we don't catch them or find them.
Right.
But when you're talking about something that's 8 foot tall and 500 pounds, there's something wrong when we can't even catch one.
Yeah.
So there's something missing somewhere, but I don't know. I tend to take the view that they are like multi-dimensional, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that they have the ability to flit in and out of our reality, mm-hmm. but we don't know how to do it.
Not yet. I think that I believe that a lot of these animals or creatures or beings are more evolved than we are, and so they've learned how to do it, and it's part of what they do.
Well, there's like a tendency to think if it's tall and covered in hair, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And that's true. But unfortunately, people say that about, oh, it's just an animal. Well, it's not just an animal. I mean, it's like animals are highly evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, they have emotions and feelings, just maybe not exactly like ours, but they do. You know, if you've got a pet dog, you go out for a couple of hours, the dog jumps all over you and get back home. And, you know, and they sometimes they get frustrated, you know, and they'll, you know, get like a hissy fit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think people often misjudge animals. We're arrogant to think we're the best and the biggest and the baddest. When really, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but we're also the most destructive, dangerous thing on the planet. The only thing that is a threat to everything else on the planet is us.
It's true.
And that's, you know, we have a lot of flaws to try and clean up. You know what I mean?
Yep. Exactly. So we have a couple of questions that we're asking as we're doing this these interviews. First question: if you could investigate with any other paranormal investigator out there, is there anyone that you think I want to investigate with that person?
That's a good question.
We knew it's a doozy.
Yeah. Maybe Linda Godfrey, who I mentioned in the lecture, who does a lot of research into the dogmen phenomenon. Yeah. Now, I've met Linda a few times, but I've never been on an expedition with her. Okay. So that would be pretty cool.
Yes, awesome.
That would be a good one.
Very cool.
We've seen dogmen here in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
We've had several reports of them.
Yep, exactly. And our last question, what is a hidden talent or something that nobody would know about you that you'd be willing to share?
where do I start?
I love it.
Well, I don't know much hidden, but I play guitar. And, you know, sometimes I play. I've got a lot of friends in Dallas. I'll get up and play with them, you know.
Oh, cool.
And like rock and punk music is what I like.
Oh,
so,
very cool.
What else? I'm trying to think now. But,
guitar is good. That's a good answer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I mean, joking aside, I mean, it's good to actually do things other than as well.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
To have a regular life as well. I mean, I'm big into soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, I like playing soccer and watching soccer.
You don't call it football?
What's that?
Football?
Well, I say soccer here in case people get confused with football, you know.
Yeah.
And I do what I do, and that's it, I guess.
Balance, work-life
balance.
Yeah,
I think balance is important. I mean, I mentioned in my lecture about Albert Bender, the guy who started the whole Men in Black thing. He got kind of sucked into it, mm-hmm. nearly went crazy and lost his health.
Yeah.
By when these Men in Black type creepy figures got their claws into him. And, you know, so for me, I like to work like 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, writing the books. And then 5 o'clock every night, laptop goes into shutdown, you know, sleep till the next day. Okay. Friday night might be going out, you know, with a bunch of friends to watch a soccer game. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, take a girlfriend out to see a movie or something, or a band. And then I don't forget about the Men in Black and Nessie until Monday morning at like 9 o'clock.
Good. Yeah, good. That is good.
Perfect. So. That's good. Awesome. Keeps it healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Perfect. Good.
And I'll just.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Ben.
And it's something for me that's a passion, you know. And as long as I can keep doing it and I have that enthusiasm, I'll keep doing it. I don't see why I would stop, you know, really. I mean, I was 6 when I first went to Loch Ness.
Oh, cool.
You know, and I was like this tall, I guess. Well, that tall, I don't know. Mm-hmm. My dad told me the story of the Loch Ness Monster. You know, and that got me interested at six, and I'm 54 now, so I'm still have that passion, you know.
That's
for
great.
It, so.
Have you had any glimpses of Nessie?
No, but the problem is, I mean, Loch Ness is like 22 miles long, a mile wide, 700 feet deep, and you've really got to be in the right place at the right time. And if they are, I'm not convinced they are actually flesh and blood animals, but if they are, then the chances are, because we hardly get any sightings per year, it's only like 7 or 8 a year, yeah. Good cases. So if they stay under the water most of the time, you're not going to see them.
Right. Yes.
You know, you've got to be in the right place.
Yes.
At the same time, they just happen to surface.
Right.
So the chances are really slim. And I mean, a lot of people go there thinking they can just turn up, sit there, you know, looking at the car, and it's going to come out the water. And most people go home, not with photographs of Nessie, but with like a fridge magnet of Nessie.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt of Nessie and a coffee mug of Nessie.
That's as close as you're
but
get.
Not with the picture
right.
of Nessie.
Yep. So
of the Nessie sightings, mm-hmm. is there one time of year that she's seen more?
Yeah, well actually, yeah, we're in more the summer months.
Oh, the
but
summer months.
Now, but some people say, well, maybe that's because more people are inclined to go to Loch Ness
right.
in the summer. So that might have something to do with it as well. It's hard to say, but there genuinely are not a lot of good cases a year. It really is 5 or 6 maybe. So either they are supernatural or they just rarely surface mm-hmm. because they don't need to.
Well, see, because my question is, if they're supernatural, you know, in the because we're paranormal investigators mm-hmm. too,
yeah.
and we know, like in the fall, the veil thins, so mm-hmm. it's easier for the other side
yeah.
to contact us. So, if they're also mm-hmm. a supernatural world, is the veil thin for them too, and is it easier
yeah.
for them to be seen by us?
Yeah, but I'm inclined to more to think they are paranormal, and so I don't really pursue Nessie from the perspective of trying to catch it, you know.
No,
not that you
no,
could really
no,
catch
no,
one of those things,
no, no.
but I mean, with all the weird stuff that surrounds it, I think like Bigfoot and the Dog Man
mm-hmm.
and the Chupacabra, that these are all, they exist somewhere else
mm-hmm.
and they're temporarily
yes.
in our world,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like multi-dimensions and things like mm-hmm. quantum physics are sort of now theorizing there could be hundreds of dimensions and
yes.
realities beyond ours.
Yes.
But we just, you know, it's kind of like listening to the radio.
Yeah.
You don't like the song, so you turn to another channel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You don't like that, you turn to another channel. But all these channels are all going on at the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
But you can only be in one channel at the same time. And I think, I know that's like simplifies it, but I think it's something like
that.
Yeah, now, why something like these creatures would be able to do that when we're not able to, I don't know. But I mean, you know, this.
I just think they're more evolved.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, like we said earlier, I mean, people say, well, it's just an animal, it couldn't do this. Why not? I mean, look at a spider. Spider spinning a web. There's no way any of us could ever spin something like a spider's web, but that spider's like, you know,
no
in a half a day, it's this huge, intricate thing. You know, and or a bird building a nest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they just know how to do it. You know,
exactly.
We're just lumbering around.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, cool. This has been really interesting.
Very fun.
Yeah,
and, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on our show sometime.
Okay. Yes.
So,
anytime. Yeah.
Write me an email and see if.
Awesome. So there's our interview with Nick Redfern. And he was chatty. And we can't wait to have him on our show because he's just interesting to talk to. And I love, like, we had Kyle on our show
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's just fun to talk to people who really dig cryptozoology
mm-hmm.
and just studying these different creatures or trying to find out as much as they can without
mm-hmm.
having anything to study.
Yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was fun to talk to him, and I'd really like to talk to him if we get him on our show about the Loch Ness Monster and
mm-hmm.
things, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that, because I think that would be fun. So anyway,
here's
our 3 interviews from this weekend at Paracon.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun talking to all of them, and next year, hopefully we can find more time to do so. Like we said, it was tough to get those 3 in because it's just too busy.
if we weren't busy, then the people that we wanted to interview were busy.
Exactly.
So it was hard, you know, because I mean, I know you went around a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
We went around separately. Mm-hmm. You know, I went around, went around.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that, I mean, I could barely squeak out a photo with them. And you had to get out of the way because the next, you can't hog up people's time either. So,
right.
You know, other people want to see them, take a picture, chat for a few minutes. And so we just, we'll have to... we'll have to see what we can see.
And I really thought we'd get Nick Groff and Elizabeth Saint in an interview too, because they were right next to us, you know, and I did chat with Nick quite a bit. We talked about CryptidCon and he was over at the booth and then we did get a picture with him.
Yep.
But then when they were available, one of us weren't available, you know, it's just how it worked, you know, and, but we will eventually get those guys. And of course, Grant, who was at my booth for a long time on Friday.
He was chatting for a long time on Friday.
I should have taken out the mic, you know, and just let him go. But, because he did, you know, and then he brought Erin over and I remember her from years past, but I'd never met her before. And so that was really cool that he did that, you know, and so, these girls are the bomb. You need to meet her. And then you know, that whole went on. So, very fun.
Yeah, we had a good time, and hopefully we'll get some of these guys. You know, I did talk to Steve Gonsalves at Paracon and said thank you for being on our show.
Yes.
As you guys might know, he was on a few months ago, and he said, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it again.
Yep.
We're hoping to get Dave Tango on the show.
Yep.
He, you know, was there, and he's a really nice guy.
Yep.
I mean, everybody that was there was nice.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
That's like, you can't say that, oh, they weren't nice. No. Everybody was really nice. It's just how busy were they that you could actually sit and talk to them for a minute.
And Steve, I did talk to Steve and he said March, because he has some exciting news that he'll be able to share then. So we'll get him on in March.
Perfect.
And then, you know, even Jay Allen, Erin kind of perked up at the thought that they could maybe find an hour out of their schedules to be on our show. So we'll work on them too, because I think they were really fun.
Yeah.
So,
and we did put Stephanie put their links on our chat room page. So if you go into the chat room, you can see the links to their websites and check out what they've been working on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that we can get Grant on our show too, because he took the gathering card.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and he brought his wife Rihanna this year, which was really fun to meet her. But I was talking to both of them, and I said, you know, Grant, we've been trying to get you on our radio show forever. Well, I'll be on your radio show. And
he says that every year.
I know, right? And then I say, okay. And then he says, but when? And I'm like, yeah, okay. This is what you always say.
And then we can't get a hold of him and we can't get him on a show. And it's like, but I'll be on your show. It's like, okay. So we're sending a call out to the universe. Grant Wilson, we would like to have you on our show.
So funny. But, you know, his wife was there this time. So maybe, you know, she'll do something about it. I don't know. But he did take our card and said, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to, you know, whatever. So
we will see. We will see.
Oh my gosh. So the big Paracon is over and done, 2018 in the history books.
Yeah. And now we move on to next year.
Yep. Yeah. So
probably start planning it, you know, after the first of the year. I'm sure they've already started planning it. So,
oh, I'm sure.
See what happens next year.
And we have to decide, you know, with Squatchers, which festivals or whatever we're going to go to next year, too. So we'll get the whole board out and figure it out. Because usually we do Paracon and one other big one. And then Bigfoot Days, of course, is a given for us. So we'll figure it out. But we have to go south. I think we need to be in Kentucky so that we can go to Kyle's museum.
Yeah.
Go on a paranormal hunt with them. And we even talked about going to Waverly Hills, maybe. Wouldn't that be fun? But we'll see.
You just committed my summer.
Right? So. I mean, we said, oh, now we're talking a whole week. We have to be down there.
I know. There's my summer.
Well, no, and then there's those Bigfoot, the Kentucky Bigfoot research team asked us to come out with them too, if we were ever in the area for, you know what I mean? We just really have a lot of offers in that area. And I love Kentucky. Have I said that before?
There's so much going on in Kentucky, paranormal wise. It is cool. And how neat though, what an honor to have so many people reach out and want to take us places.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. So that feels really good that, you know, we're
awesome.
I mean, apparently not a bunch of Goombas running around that people are like avoiding like the plague. So
right.
That's
right.
a plus it, in our favor.
It is. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's great to have the invites. I think we need to start taking people up on their invites or they're not going to invite us anymore. But yeah, but I do love Kentucky. There's, like we said, a lot going on down there in Kentucky.
There is.
You know, and if, especially if they have it in Louisville, although it really sounds like CryptidCon, they're leaning towards, I don't know, it's a city just north of where we were last year. And for some reason, that's just totally, Lexington.
Got it.
Which Nick said is also, but he asked me why I wanted Louisville. And I said, yeah, there's so much going on in Louisville. You got to have Louisville, and it's bigger and crazier and, you know, wilder. And he's like, okay, well, that's good. You know, and he asked me all the reasons why, you know, and he said, of course, it comes down to who will give them the best deal and will be big enough and, you know, better for everyone involved. So kudos to him for listening. I mean, he really questioned me. Well, why do you think that, you know?
Yeah. No. So, yeah, it would be nice if they moved it. The only reason I think, well, not the only reason, this is one of the reasons, it'd be nice if they moved it, the hotel, and maybe they were under some kind of transformation. There was not one, finally the last day we found the one vending machine.
Yeah.
This is a hotel with hundreds and hundreds of rooms and one vending machine. Like, I just wanted a bottle of water and there is not a convenience store in sight that you could walk to.
No
concessions, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, just get us some vending machines so we can get some water, people.
Well, and that's kind of what I told him about Frankfort too. And they know that it will not, there goes Bubble Kitty. It will not be in Frankfort next year. So either it will be in Lexington or Louisville. Either one will be a much improvement. Not that Frankfort's not a cool place, it is, but it's in downtown there. And on the weekends, there's nobody around and there's just not the infrastructure to support it. I don't think there's not enough restaurants. There's not this, there's not that. And the hotel is lacking in a lot of things. So anyway, that's not,
we'll not worry about it.
Bubble is just done with being quiet now. She's just going to chat.
She lasts about 55 minutes.
Yeah. So that was pretty good.
Right
actually.
At the end of our show, she usually starts in again. Yes. So, yeah, but we're going to have next couple of shows as we're getting wrapped up here tonight. But next couple of shows, we're getting closer and creeping in towards Halloween. So, you know, we just might have some creepier shows as we get closer.
Yeah.
So you'll have to stay tuned. And yeah, because this is the fun time of year.
We might
dress up. I'm just saying,
we
might dress up and it might end up on our Facebook page if we have a costume on.
It'll be fun.
So we'll have to put that out there, or if we do dress up for something else, we can always put those costumes on and show you that we dressed up. So
okay. It'll be fun either way.
So
well, here we are at the end of this fun show again. It's the end.
Stephanie's gonna sing us out.
I'm gonna sing. So anyway, thanks everyone for listening, and we will be back on at the same bad time and same bad channel in a week.
And thank you to Para X for hosting us, Sarge for producing us, and all the work you did tonight with those audios. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everybody in the chat room, and again, like Steph said, for everybody listening, we appreciate you. So thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.